The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you almost fall every time you sit on your toilet?
No.
I'm like a foot shorter than you, and I find your toilet to be so low.
That's all I've got.
Well, welcome back to the Bloody Podcassacre. That's Zach Walters.
And that's Kennedy Catherine. We always do it at the end, and we need to do it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It really means the world to us if you go and give us a little rating and review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify now, because they now can do that.
It's also very helpful.
It is. It shows other people this content. It'll get us places, and it'll get you places.
Share with your friends. Share with your mom.
Share with your dad. Your neighbor that you don't talk to ever. Maybe you'll have a nice dinner over Podcassacre.
A Podcassacre-themed dinner party.
And you'll have matching Podcassacre PJs. Those aren't happening, but it's a dream.
Yeah, it's a pipe dream that we have in the works, meaning in our brains.
Yeah. It chapter 2.
We're just going to jump right in, are we?
Yeah, dive in. If you haven't listened to the first part or you haven't seen the first movie, go listen to that one first. Because
mm-hmm.
This is the continuation, so...
So, 27 years after its initial defeat, you're 27?
Ew.
Are you not?
I am.
Yeah, so be prepared. It's time.
It's time?
27 years after its initial defeat, Pennywise returns to Derry.
Barely.
And he kills a man by biting his heart out after he and his boyfriend are brutally assaulted in a hate crime after visiting a carnival.
You would think he would go after the people who beat him up.
Why? Is Pennywise like a notorious ally? Do we know this about him historically?
Yeah. Him and the Babadook.
True. So Mike, the only member of the Losers Club who remains in Derry, calls the other members Bill, Ben, Beverly, Richie, Eddie, and Stanley to honor the promise they made 27 years earlier. Do you have to drink out of a fucking water bottle with a straw like a child?
Like a baby! Just a little baby.
So all of them return to Derry except for Stanley, who kills himself out of fear. I'm so sorry. That was really bad timing. Okay. At a Chinese restaurant, Mike refreshes the losers' memories before the news of Stanley's suicide is revealed to them. Through fortune cookie, Richie and Eddie decide to leave until Beverly reveals that she's had psychic visions of their deaths. Meanwhile, it kills a young girl at a baseball game after luring her into his trap. Mike shows Bill that a Native American ritual can stop it for good. He explains that the ritual requires items from their past to be sacrificed. Bill recovers his paper sailboat. Beverly retrieves Ben's love letter from her childhood home before being attacked by it in the form of a demonic elderly woman. Richie goes to an abandoned arcade where he finds a game token and encounters Pennywise, who confronts him about his hidden homosexuality.
Sounds like a fever dream.
Right? Ben retires to the high school. Ben returns to the high school and recovers his old yearbook page while Eddie recovers an inhaler from a pharmacy. Meanwhile, Henry Bowers, who was arrested for killing his father, is freed from a mental institution by it. He viciously attacks Eddie before attacking Mike at the library and nearly kills him, but Richie is able to kill him before he has the chance. The losers then rejoin Bill, who failed to save a young boy from being eaten by it. With their memories now fully restored, the group descend into a cavern beneath the sewers to perform the ritual. The ritual traps the deadlights, its true form, in a sealing jar, but a giant red balloon emerges from the jar and explodes, revealing it as a Pennywise spider hybrid. It attacks the losers and places Bill, Ben, and Beverly in individual traps, which they escape. Mike stands up to the creature, only to get almost eaten, but Richie manages to distract it, getting caught in its deadlights in the process. Eddie saves him, but is fatally impaled. After Eddie explains how he made it feel small earlier, the losers confront Pennywise on how they've overcome their fears and are no longer scared of him. This causes it to shrink, and Mike rips out its heart, and the losers crush it with their bare hands. Richie and the others rush to see Eddie, but find he's died from his injuries. The losers are forced to leave as the cavern implodes. The remaining losers return to their old swimming area and join hands to comfort each other as Richie mourns the loss of Eddie. After the losers part way, Ben and Beverly get married. Richie returns to the kissing bridge where he'd once carved his and Eddie's initials. Mike decides to move out of Derry and start a new life, and Bill begins writing his new story about receiving a call from Mike as he leaves Derry, learning that Stanley sent them all posthumous letters. The letters reveal that Stanley was too scared to face it and that his suicide was intended to strengthen his friends against him. He asked the remaining losers to, quote, live life to the fullest potential. This is a fucking banging movie.
Live, laugh, love your way through Derry.
I would. Listen, I know you have complicated feelings.
I just feel like it's not as strong as the first half. It still does the job. It just feels like there's too much.
I read a really good review that pointed out that if you assume people are watching this installment 2 years after the first, then it's a good movie. But if you watch it consecutively, like one right after the other, sort of like how we did, or in one sitting, you'll probably be bored to tears.
Yeah. I did find myself skipping through a lot of it mm-hmm. because some of it does feel prolonged. A lot of the scenes going in them finding their like little trinkets. Mm-hmm. That felt a little long to me. But there was a lot of parts of the movie that I did really love, too.
Oh, there's so many really great moments.
This is the longest horror movie to ever get a wide theatrical release.
Really? It's nearly 3 hours. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah, it is 34 minutes longer than the first movie. So combined total, it's 5 hours and 4 minutes, which is longer than the original 1990s miniseries.
Which I was going to watch this morning, but could not find anywhere.
I do find the thing that disappoints me is the ending of the movie a little bit. I feel like it's leading up to such a big moment, and I do find it as a bit of a letdown. Is, I think, where my, like, meh kind of comes from.
I sort of feel that way about the whole thing. I feel the thing that lets me down is that they did not really capitalize on this opportunity that they had to present new stories. Like, they have such a substantial jump in time, and then they give them to us as adults. They only really mature them physically. Like, their fears are the same. Mm-hmm. The dynamics are relatively the same, and the development of their lives don't really factor in at all. Like, if someone had had children and that became the catalyst, like, we have children mm-hmm. and now we have to protect them, at least there would be like an emotional investment. But they just kind of keep them exactly where they're at. Like, nothing about them develops. You know, they have mm-hmm. Beverly is in a loveless, abusive marriage, but her fear is still her father. That is true for most people, that you care, whatever mm-hmm. your fear is or whatever your trauma is as a child, like, that keeps coming up, that's recurring. But there's just no development. Like, we basically have the same scenes just extended yeah. from the first movie
and as them as adults with mm-hmm. different characters. Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't notice until I read it online, with the young kids in the movie, they filmed it, like, with the adults there, and they used CGI to de-age them.
Yeah, I did
all the kids' faces, and auto-tune their voices to make them not as deep, mm-hmm. because a lot of them have aged, but also a lot of them had to have all their body hair shaved for the second movie, because they were... they look too old.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
And it's like one of those things that you don't notice, but then like when you do notice, it is so prominent, mm-hmm. especially with Richie younger, because he was filming season 3 of Stranger Things at the same time.
Right.
What is his name? Why can't I think of it? Finn Wolfhard. It's just like his face is so like weirdly round, and I started noticing it more as I went through, because I was watching the movie and making notes at the same time. And it was just, like, so, like, jarring. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is weird. And to know that they're all shaved.
I noticed the voice pretty intensely with Eddie. Mm-hmm. Because he had such an identifiable voice. He was, like, had a very upper, like, a high pitch. Yeah. And you could kind of tell in this that they had auto-tuned it.
One thing I read is that he went from 4'6 in the first movie to 5'11.
What?
In the second one.
That's wild. I heard that they had to put Mike in platform yeah. heels because he was so much taller than everybody in the first one. And then all of a sudden he wasn't at all. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so
How much wild? Time? There wasn't that much time between movies. It was like 2 years. I guess puberty's a motherfucker.
Yeah, it'll get ya.
Yeah. Things that you loved about this movie. Tell me about it.
Where I wrote it down. My favorite scene that I think in this movie is closer to the beginning.
Okay.
It is when they're all at the Asian restaurants. It literally is like they put those kids into adult costumes. Like, the way that it just works so well, how mm-hmm. they're just, like, all reacting to each other, and it looks like the kid versions of themselves all of a sudden. Like, everything, like, is how it used to be.
Yes. There was a lot of critiques that the script wasn't as strong in this one, but I find the dialogue in that scene is very mm-hmm. strong. It's exactly right for the characterization.
I also... It is dark. But when they put the piece together and it says, guess Stanley could not cut it, I was like, she is Stanley.
Yeah. It's Stanley. He couldn't cut it. We can't make that joke.
It's too soon. I literally wrote, too soon.
Yeah.
Like, Pennywise said, I'm going to jab it right in here.
Going back to the scene in the restaurant.
Yes.
At that point, who did you think was the best fit in terms of...
Richie, Bill Hader.
Dude.
Perfect.
Perfect.
It is the, like, it's so uncanny how well... It's like he studied Finn Wolfhard in the first movie and just was that person.
Eddie, too.
Yes.
I find Eddie and Richie are, like, impeccable casting.
Wasn't Finn Wolfhard, didn't he pick Bill Hader?
He did.
And then we talked about this.
Yeah. In an interview in 2017, all of the kids were asked who they would choose. And Sophia Lillis chose Jessica Chastain and Finn Wolfhard chose Bill Hader. And then 2 years later, they both signed on.
I know that Bill Hader.
Or a year later.
Yeah. Bill Hader was kind of already like in the mix for the role. Hmm. Like he wasn't specifically cast, but he was like up there that they were like, right. Yeah, we're going to put him in there. Yeah. Bill Hader, one funny character, Richie in general and Eddie together. Even when like they all of a sudden started talking in the restaurant and it was like, you're talking like a child. It's like they forget how to be adults all of a sudden. Great, great casting.
Also, I don't know if you've heard recently, but it's been in the news that apparently Bill Hader.
What?
Huge dick.
Oh, I believe it.
No, I mean physically.
Oh. I don't know if I needed that information. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, well.
I started watching Barry with him in it.
I don't know what that is.
It's his HBO show where he's a serial killer, but then decides to... pursue theater.
That sounds so good.
My brother loves it and he's been trying to get me to watch it. I've watched, I think, 4 episodes. It's like, it's pretty good. Or not a serial killer, a hitman. Sorry.
Oh. Well, same less thing, exciting.
But he then pursues theater. Live theater. Bill Hader is a gem, though.
He really is. I find him so.
Even though I just said, I can see him being a dick.
I find him so endearing in a way that is attractive, even though I know I'm not attracted to him.
Do you know who he reminds me of in a weird way?
Who?
Mark Duplass.
I can see that.
I just see them like sometimes and I'm like, you guys are kind of the same person.
Same sort of goofy vibe, but Mark Duplass is definitely more conventionally attractive.
Remember Creep 2 when he stood naked?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hader could never.
Bill Hader absolutely could.
I'm just saying.
When Bill Hader walks up at the restaurant and goes, you two look amazing. What the fuck happened to me?
I've never felt more seen.
Same.
You know? It's like...
me going to my high school reunion in 2 months.
Are you?
No, I'm not going.
Oh, thank God. I don't think I'm going to go to mine.
No, that's truly a terrible idea.
And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Back to the restaurant scene. I loved it until the little fortune cookie started spewing out body parts and bat wings and stuff. It took me out.
I kind of liked it. The little eyeball.
The eyeball was the best one.
Mm-hmm.
The little baby thing that was, like, screaming. Also, literally, why doesn't anybody just slap it with their hands?
I think they were trying. He hit it with a chair.
But that was towards the end after, like, the whole thing was bubbling.
Listen, at that point, I don't know what's going on. It's a tiny baby creature. What am I supposed to do with that information?
My other favorite scene is more of a gruesome scene. Is when Stanley's decapitated head is in the house or in the cave, wherever they are. And it starts, like, bubbling and growing out little, like, tentacle hand arm things that look like spiders. And they come out of, like, his eye and, like, his ears. And he's, like, mucus and gross. And it worked so well because it was, like, this, like, what is happening? Because the character was freaking out. But then at the same time, it was, like, obviously it's not, like, the character. It's Pennywise. And it was so gross, but I also loved it. But then also just kick the head.
It's a soccer ball at that point.
Yeah. Like when, I think it was Bill, like punted it with his hand. Then it came back and it was in the ceiling. That was funny when he was like, ah, oh, shit. Those two scenes are like top tier for me for the movie.
Mm-hmm. There's so many good moments like that. My favorite, like, oh no, that I'm unsettled, is when Beverly is at her old apartment and that naked old woman is scurrying around in the back.
Yeah.
When she actually approaches her and she's like the big, tall, long-limbed thing. Not as scary. That's the one thing about the It movies that I love it, requires it, but there is just so much in-your-face CGI characters. One of my favorite moments, not scary, but cracks me up, is when Eddie is in the basement of the pharmacy and the leper pukes on him. And for like 2 seconds, they play Angel of the Morning. It's so funny to me.
They have some really good moments.
They have some very good, like, self-aware peak comedic moments.
And we appreciate them for that.
Yeah.
However, we don't appreciate the CGI. I think that this movie could have benefited from a lot of practical.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I think that's what it's about. There is, like, an element to these movies that is very campy. Like, it knows that. Pennywise is camp.
That's true. The one thing that, like, takes me out of it is the huge, like, CGI spider clown at the end. You know?
That's a lot.
But even back to the old lady, mm-hmm. where I don't find that scene scary because it was... that scene was, like, promo scene.
Yes, it was.
Always everywhere. It was in the trailers. And so it was never scary watching it in the theaters. Yeah, I just feel like there was some CGI that was just, like, it was off. It was bad. And the old lady was one of them.
The only issue that I really have with this movie is that it just starts out strongly homophobic.
However, my favorite director
is Xavier Dolan.
And he is in this movie. So he met the director and randomly expressed interest about being in this film, having loved the first one. And Xavier Dolan said that he will do anything he wants. He will be a door handle, a doorknob, a curtain, whatever he wants so that he can be in this film. He was later cast as Adrian Mellon, who died. But during the filming, it took place during salmon season.
Okay.
And they had to take 6 tons of dead fish from the canal because of the stench, and they couldn't film.
Wait, what killed all the fish? Oh, okay. I was like, did the they production? Did it. Okay. No. Oh, shit. Because that would have been not good.
No, but there was like just so much like just dead fish.
Ew.
Something must have happened.
I don't know. I don't know how salmon works.
Xavier Dolan. Love him to death.
I just wish that someone had told those two beautiful boys that Meg Ryan called, she wants her wig back, is a slam that really only works if you're at the drag club or book club.
Yeah.
There is some blatantly homophobic themes in this movie, and I just...
It's not blatant.
Yeah, it's pretty blatant.
Yeah, they you're right. No.
They literally...
I thought blatant was opposite.
No, they straight up call him a fag. That's pretty blatant. Sorry, trigger warning. I don't know. I'm gay. I'm allowed. Well, I wouldn't. Anyway, also, I wish that we had gotten more from the Eddie and Richie storyline.
Me too.
That's disappointing.
It really is.
That goes back to, like, my feeling about the dynamics in the movie and sort of just, like, the wasted time in this movie. I wish that instead of everybody having to go independently get their token or whatever that...
item is.
Their item, their token... I wish that it had been more of a group dynamic, because that restaurant scene is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is just them kind of like independently doing the same things that we had in the first movie, having those same scares. And what if we had like Ben and Bill and Beverly as a trio, and there's more to that like threesome dynamic where she's trying to figure out in this love triangle like who
she really has feelings for, maybe who... she feels more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And, like, them maybe having a conversation expressing that.
Yeah.
You know, I agree.
And then Eddie and Richie go off and they do their own thing. And listen, maybe we find out. Maybe we find out that little Eddie.
He's fruity.
Did you notice that his wife was played by his mom?
Yeah, I did notice
that. That's so good.
I love it. One thing that I also kind of love, but it's kind of silly. The climax of this movie is a bunch of grown adults bullying a clown.
Yeah.
By saying, clown. Clown? Clown. And he dies. But then he turns into this little witty baby. And they take his heart and they go, clown. But also, like, I was kind of sad.
For Pennywise?
When he was a little baby and he was like, had his forearms. And he was like, no, please, my heart. And I was like, don't take his heart. I did kind of feel bad. I'm not going to lie.
That is just your animalistic paternal side. And it's wrong.
Okay.
And you just shut it down.
You're right. But he has just a squishy little heart.
A squishy little heart that deserved to be squished.
You're right. Also, the fact that, just this is also with character development, they walk into a room and scream. They constantly are being scared. And you would think that after 27 years, you would maybe, like, learn to, like, get over at least some fears. Build up some gradual tolerance for just, like, I don't know, a skateboard coming around the corner. No. they are all so, so terrified of everything that happens to them. I would hate to be in their friend group. I also would be like, Stanley.
Yeah.
I would get out of there.
Yeah, I would pull a Stanley, or I would simply just not show up.
Yeah, what's going to happen? He's going to leave Derry, come find me in New York?
What, it's just not going to work? Like, you can't defeat Pennywise without me?
Because they did it.
Exactly.
So why? I don't have to be there.
I don't need to be there. This actually leads into my biggest complaint about this movie. I'm going to monologue for a moment.
Yeah.
You're right. They never do improve upon their fears because apparently they forget everything.
Because guess what? Clown.
I understand the need for memory lapses in terms of the plot development and the storyline, but I think they could have done it either more believably or more drastically. Like when they're sitting in the restaurant, one of them says, "It's so weird, all of these people that I can't remember forgetting." And that is something that most people can make sense of. You know, as you creep your way into adulthood, into your 30s, you will find yourself talking about your childhood, or you'll be talking to somebody who you used to have experiences with, and you'll find yourself saying like, "Oh yeah," or "Oh yeah, so-and-so, totally forgot about them." That makes sense. But what you don't do is forget the killer clown that terrorized you and your friend group for a summer. That doesn't make any sense.
Also, like, and killed people around you.
Yeah. Like, they don't make it either subtle or intense enough. If their memory was sort of controlled by their proximity to Derry, that would make more sense. And they drove into town and they were suddenly like, "Oh shit, everything's coming back to me." That would explain them sort of conveniently forgetting, but Mike still remembering, instead of it just sort of they're sitting there in little bits and pieces where they're like, "Oh yeah, Pennywise." As if that wouldn't plague you every night when you're going to sleep.
But also, like, Stanley didn't come back because of Pennywise.
Right.
So why are these two, Mike and Stanley?
Got it.
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones are just like, the trauma has taken, maybe it was just too much trauma.
The other ones literally roll into town being like, "We don't even know why we're here."
But also they all were like very hesitant about answering a phone call from Derry.
And their scars in their hand, they make mention, like we see Bill physically reacting. So like they all know, but then they roll in like, "How could you, Mike? You didn't even tell us. You made the pact 27 years ago, bitch, you know."
Another thing, maybe, I don't know how I feel about this movie. Now, the more that we're talking about it, it's fine.
I love it for the fact that it is a fun watch. It is flawed in some ways, though.
You're right. I feel like it tries to fit also a lot of story plots, and I wrote down some of them. So we have Pennywise back alive. Mm-hmm. There's that storyline. Then we have the Losers Club back together. Mm-hmm. We have the story in the hospital with, what's his name, escaping.
Oh, yeah, Bowers.
Yeah.
Also great casting.
The new kid who is the new Pennywise victim, that child.
Yeah.
And then we have Mike's magical ayahuasca trip where he has superpowers that he has to show Billy. Also, then we throw in the thing where the boy's not dead from the first one. It just feels like there's so much. And I understand why they couldn't do a part 2 and 3 because that's not how, quote unquote, the book would work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have benefited from being split.
I don't know. Like, story-wise, yeah, maybe logistically, could they have made 2 movies out of this? I don't know. I feel like that would have been stretching it.
True.
There's a lot to pack in because the movie's 3 fucking hours long.
True. It's also an 1,100-page book.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, we did get a comment from our last one on It, Chapter 1.
Oh my god, yeah. We got a message from, hold on.
Gregory.
Who, I didn't realize this, that Beverly has sex with all of them in the...
in the sewer.
They all get lost in the sewers and they can't find their way out. So to reconnect all of them, they all have sex with Beverly.
Yeah.
That seems very odd to me.
Yeah, I completely forgot that that is something that happens in the book.
Whew.
And it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Because I always remember people being like, "Well, don't you remember the child orgy scene?" And I was like, "No.
No.
I do not." Because... one, wipe that from my mind.
Also, they didn't put that in the movie.
In the original or in the remakes, and a reason. Because we do not need to see children having sex.
Mm-mm.
That is just a side tangent. Back to the runtime and everything. So, Muschietti talked about that he wants to...
Can I see his last name?
What?
Can I see?
Yeah.
Muschietti.
Sure. The director revealed that he has an idea of combining both movies into one for one long picture. Mm. In 2017, after the movie came out, he like wanted to release a director's cut of the first one. It would include like an extra 15 minutes, some behind the scenes stuff. Eventually, it went to 2019, which it chapter 2 came out. Still nothing on this director's cut. And then he was like, I want to make a super cut of both films together.
Okay.
However, he wanted to include new stuff and new material with stuff that they had filmed already. So, like, going back and refilming again.
Okay.
And that it would run at about 390 minutes, which is 6.5 hours.
Absolutely not.
I think that if you're going to do something like that, you have to make it into, a, like, an HBO miniseries, 7 episodes.
Yes.
And break it up so that you have some sort of cliffhanger endings or something where it's episodic so that people can take a break.
Yeah, I fully agree. Just the idea of that would be so overwhelming to me. I would never.
Could you imagine going and sitting in a theater?
No.
For 6.5 hours?
I wouldn't do it.
I know that in countries outside of where we live in Canada and outside of the United States, more specifically, my reference is India. My friend was backpacking through there and went and saw a movie. And they take intermissions in movies so that people can go outside and smoke if they want to go get a snack or whatever. And I'm like, kind of smart. This movie would have to have like 700 intermissions for me to enjoy it.
For sure. And I think at one of them, I would probably leave.
I don't think that this movie needs more.
Could use less.
And I don't think that they need to be refilming things. Mm. If anything, use different shots. Use different... Like a great example is Zack Snyder's Justice League. They reissued it because it wasn't the original director's vision. His daughter had passed during filming, and so he had to step away from the movie.
Okay.
So
Joss. Yeah.
Yeah. Stepped in and finished the movie, and it wasn't what it was originally supposed to be.
Yeah.
So then they re-released it as a director's cut. I don't think that this needs that. Sometimes
I've seen all I need to see.
If you want to do a director's cut, release it on iTunes. Release it online.
Yeah.
You don't need to make it a 6.5 hour movie. Mm-mm. Kind of stepping into the 1990 series, Screambox, which is something we still don't have and still can't try, released a documentary recently called Pennywise, The Story of It, which kind of dives into the 1990 miniseries, which I think you and I should try to find it for us to watch.
I love it. It's really good.
I think it would be very fun for both of us to watch, but it has exclusive interviews with Pennywise, aka Tim Curry, Richard Thomas, Seth Green, Tim Reed, Emily Perkins, also the director, writer, and special effects makeup artist.
Interesting.
And so I was looking online just for some more information, and The Bloody Disgusting, which is a horror media outlet, kind of posted some kind of key takeaways from them, and I thought they would be interesting to share.
Yeah.
So Tim Curry was originally not supposed to be playing Pennywise.
That would have been a big mistake.
I know. So producers originally approved Harvey Fierstein, Roddy McDowall, who was in Planet of the Apes and Fright Night, Malcolm McDowell, who was in A Clockwork Orange and Rob Zombie's Halloween, and then even Alice Cooper was discussed to play Pennywise. Okay. However, someone was like, what about Tim Curry? And he, without the network's like approval, he did an audition. They were like, yeah, that's the one.
For
sure. He is going to be a director's dream. And they didn't even send him like a script. And they were just like, yeah, we want you in this. And he was just like, I'm going to sign on.
Talk about fate.
Right. Another thing, though, is that Tim Curry almost left the project.
Why?
So he had just got off a movie called Darkness in a movie called Legend, and his body was covered in prosthetics for the role, and he did not want to do another movie that was fully covered in prosthetics.
I've heard it's really arduous, like especially back in the day, like
even
hours
now.
And hours and hours, and like the physical discomfort of that, and
like you have to stay still,
and like some people are super claustrophobic.
Yeah, and also like it's trial and error for a lot of it until you can find the right even like material
formula that works with your body and stuff like that.
So he didn't want too much makeup because he really wanted to be able to use his face to express Pennywise as a character and as a clown. yeah, he almost left because they wanted to use like rubber prosthetics and everything. And he was saying, if you want me in this movie, then you're going to have to think about taking away all the makeup because you have the wrong actor. Make me look like a straight clown because I will be able to scare the audience. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a very good job.
I agree with that. I like that idea of just like, let me act. Don't try to make me inherently scary. Just trust the fact that I can deliver enough.
And I think personally, I still like Tim Curry's Pennywise more.
I think I do too. And like, I don't really know if that's nostalgia because Bill Skarsgård is so good. Mm-hmm. I just think they're very different. And I think the material that they're working with is very different.
Do you know Bill almost didn't return for the second movie?
No, I didn't.
Because the character was literally giving him nightmares. Oh. And he would have to, in his characters or in his dreams, he was having to defeat Pennywise as if he was one of the characters. And it was really taking a toll on him.
I found Pennywise is like slightly more removed from in the second one. So I wonder if that was helpful.
Another thing from this documentary is that apparently John Wayne Gacy painted a Pennywise portrait on his deathbed in death row while he was getting injected.
I would like to know who has that. That would either be one of those things that if you're someone like Tim Curry that you immediately want or immediately never want to see at all.
It literally, one of the quotes was, should I be flattered or should I be offended? I do not know how I feel about this. I can't remember. It says by Mixon. I do not remember who that person is. Okay. I don't have a first name, unfortunately. And then the last fun fact is that the police were called on the child actors in the 1991 or in the 1990 comma one.
Yeah.
Because apparently they were just like a bunch of menaces and they just like wanted to have fun together. So the executive producer, Jim Green, first had to reprimand them because they were just noisy and loud.
Like where? Like in their hotels or like?
Like just on set together.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're children.
Yeah.
And then Patrice Leung also, though, was working with the adult cast in the second part and said, no, they were way worse than the children. But then one time, the character who played Ben Hanscom, how do you say his last name? Hanscom? They were dropping water balloons off their balcony into people's convertibles.
Okay, love that.
And then they decided once that they wanted to add Kool-Aid, and the people were very upset. So the police called. They were filming in Vancouver, and they almost all got deported back to the States and couldn't.
Pretty iconic.
So they were let off with a warning.
Honestly, core memories for those kids.
Right? That was so fun. I would be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then Seth Green, who played Richie in the young movie, or in the 1990 movie, who played young Richie, wanted to play adult Richie in the remake. And that could have been fun. But Bill Hader is...
He does have a cameo. I just can't remember what it is.
I also don't remember, but Stephen King also has a cameo.
He does, and they were supposed to do a flashback. So Stephen King plays the owner of a pawn shop,
mm-hmm.
and they were supposed to have a flashback where his son was going to be the young version of him.
But interesting.
They cut it, ultimately.
Well, it might be in the 6.5-hour version.
Guillermo del Toro was also supposed to have a cameo, and they like had it locked in, but they ended up cutting the scene for time as well. I don't think it was ever shot, even.
Interesting. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. What else do you have for this? I just have, like, random fun facts again.
The only thing, really, that I have is that it grossed a total of $473 million. So the net profit of the film is estimated to be $169 million when factoring together all expenses and revenues.
That's insane.
That's fucking wild.
Could you imagine?
No! I can't fathom that number.
Fun facts. Pennywise in this movie only has 7 minutes of dialogue in the whole film. It's a 3.5-hour movie. No, 3 hours, sorry.
Yeah.
For a 3-hour movie, don't you think that the main villain would have just maybe a little bit more dialogue? A little bit more conversation? No. A little more action, please?
I don't think he had that much in the first one either. I think we said there was like, I don't know, it was some small amount. He did feel slightly more removed in this one somehow.
And I wonder if it's because he was kind of like trying to take a back seat. Realistically, there's only like a couple of scenes where he's like in it, if that makes sense. There's the one where he's with like the Paul Bunyan.
And he's pretty much in the entire final sequence.
Yeah.
He has scenes with a couple of kids. He's not in it. He's just not the same sort of like terrorizing figure that he was in the first one.
Yeah. The man who plays older Ben, J. Ryan, used to work as a clown before his acting career took off, which kind of fitting. Last fun fact.
Okay.
We talked about a lot of, like, the It universe within Stephen King's work, other movies, etc. But in this one, there was something that kind of like ties back into that. So in the artifact that Mike finds from the indigenous people, there is a symbol with a circle with one large point and several other small points. And that represents the Dark Tower, which is another Stephen King film and movie. Another Stephen King book and film, which also connects back to The Shining again, The Stand, Salem's Lot, Insomnia, and a bunch of others. The sixth book, Song of Susanna, in the Dark Tower series, implies that it is one of six greater demon elementals, and its rival, that turtle that we talked about earlier, is one of the guardians of the tower beams. Its mission is to destroy the beam. So, very interesting.
Yeah, it all comes full circle.
Now, I do have a little story.
Okay.
2 weeks after I saw It Chapter 2 in theaters, I was on my way for a vacation in Portland. Mm-hmm. We had a layover in Vancouver. While we were in like the little like customs area waiting to like, you know, get our tickets and move on, this child is in front of my friend and I, who I was traveling with at the time, and has the newest iPhone, is playing a bunch of games.
It's not that kid, is it?
Which kid?
The one who says to Bill Hader like his line.
It sure is.
Shut up. That kid is in everything.
And so we're sitting here and he has this huge phone. He's posting on social media, hands it to this woman. And we are like watching this kid being like, whose child is this? Why is he here? Why is he being escorted by this woman? And then it wasn't until later that we realized that like, oh my God, that was the random kid they threw in. And it that we just saw.
But that kid is also in a lot of stuff. In so much.
Yeah. I didn't go and look it up because I was like, he was just standing in front of us. And I was like, not famous enough to go through private.
Well, I was in the Toronto airport not that long ago and Caroline Rayo was there. She is one of the aunts from Sabrina.
Yeah, I would cry.
But the thing was, she was right in front of me and we were all wearing masks. And I could tell that she was trying to keep a low profile. No. Obviously the masks are really helpful, but like I kept looking at her because I was like, this woman looks really familiar in the eyes because she has very recognizable eyes. And then suddenly it just like kind of clicked and I was like, oh my God. And then I was just kind of staring at her and she kept looking back at me and she didn't say anything or do anything, but like the energy was sort of like, please don't do this to me right now because we are in a line of hundreds of people. And if we start this, it's not going to end.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, so I just didn't say anything.
I would have just been like, thank you for my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this child eventually walked away. I could not tell you his name.
That's so funny.
Was so strange. And then him and his assistant or whoever, his mom, it was definitely not his mom. It was definitely like a business relationship. He probably was like finished shooting something and was going home or going somewhere else to shoot. I don't know. Could care less. But he was in front of me.
That's so fun for you.
Anyways, that is all I have to say. No, actually, one more thing.
Okay.
I did write this down. Fuck, marry, kill. Pennywise. Mm-hmm. Naked old lady Pennywise.
Okay.
Paul Bunyan, Pennywise.
Marry Paul Bunyan.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Pennywise. Because standard Pennywise was an option? Kill the old lady.
Okay. That's where I would be at.
Okay, cool. Let's rate it.
Okay.
Scary.
Five.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Unsettling.
Three.
Story.
Six.
Is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre?
It's a paper cut. It's a little bleedy.
It's Stanley in a bathtub for me.
Oh, it's like a car crash. You know you shouldn't, but you still want to watch. It's one of those kind of like, ugh.
I got you. If you want to follow us, it's @podcastcur on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You already know to leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Send us an email at thebloodypodcastcur@gmail.com. Until next time.
It ends.